Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us today for New Life Live. Dr. John Townsend's here. Hey, John.
Hey, Steve.
And Alice Benton. Dr. Alice Benton.
Hi, fellas. Hi, everybody.
Alice, I think you're the only... Aren't you the only bilingual person we have... I mean, John and I do Pig Latin, but that doesn't really...
And you speak it so well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We do. But I think you're isn't part of your practice working with folks that only speak Spanish?
It is. I've worked with immigrants in particular for many years, and especially the trauma work of moving here, of losing family.
I think that's pretty cool. I'm curious. You lost your mom.
I did, right before Mother's Day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's rough. There's just those times when we have to do what we tell everybody else to do.
That's right.
Not easy. But sorry.
How are you doing?
Surprisingly well. And actually, I got to fly home because my parents are in Minnesota. And we got a call the night before. My mom's been in and out of the hospital dealing with cancer. So it wasn't a huge surprise. But she's always bounced back. But I just felt that time like I needed to fly out there. Yeah. Took a red-eye flight. Got there in time. And my siblings and I and my dad got to be around her bedside. We sang songs, we cried, we prayed, we brushed her hair. She was unconscious by that point, but God felt so present in that as we sent her off. Yeah. So knowing that she's in the eternal party and she just got there first and she's not suffering anymore, that has helped immensely. And then getting to lean on my life group, my safe people.
That's important. You lost your parents.
Both of them a year ago.
Was it unexpected or was it...
No.
Like, okay.
It was, they were very old.
Yeah.
And things just gave up.
Right.
You said something at the time that stuck with me, that when we proactively grieve, it can cut the time in half when we go to our people and we bring our stories and our sadness.
I didn't wait for it to hit me. I hit it.
I took that to heart when I heard you say that.
Good.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that with my mother. She's... Over 90, 91. It's just hard. Okay, I'll try to get there. But
Claire's sort of part of our whole family.
Well,
here.
She
we just know her
is,
and love her.
I think she's amazing. She's so strong. She still drives, you know, and nobody's going to take the steering wheel away from
She'll
her.
She'll outlive all of us,
Steve. Yeah, she probably will. Anyway, well, you know, if you're struggling and you need some help with any of those areas, call us and let us help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number. To call. Before we get into the program, before we go to the break, I want to mention that if you're interested in a full-on degree at the Townsend Institute, you can find out about it at drtownsend.com. John, we'll talk about the other thing in a minute, but talk about somebody that wants a degree at the Townsend Institute. What do they get?
If you need an academic degree, graduate degree, this is the real thing.
Certified.
Certified.
Accredited.
Accredited with a university. The Townsend Institute is affiliated with Concordia University, Irvine, California. You can get a master's in counseling, a master's in executive coaching and consulting, or a master's in organizational leadership based on neurology, the Bible, science, and my experience.
What I love about the degree in executive
coaching and consulting.
Coaching and consulting. When you're applying for a job, I don't think they see you in the same light. If that's the degree you've got. They're seeing you. This is somebody that's got something to offer.
There's some gravitas there.
Yeah, exactly. All right. It's drtownsend.com. We're glad you're with us today, and we're going to take your calls right after this. Our way of saying thank you today for anybody that wants a little help along the way. We've got 100 Days of Prayer. It's a great resource, and I think you're really going to like it. We'll be back right after this.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 20th to the 22nd.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future, and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Alice Benton. I like to think all of our programs are special, but we've got a special program coming up Wednesday on the emotionally destructive relationship. Mm. And if you're in one, hey, if you've caused one, why don't you join us on Wednesday? And then this weekend, I'm going to be preaching at Northview Church. You can join us, northviewchurch.us, live. And that's 5 on Saturday, Eastern Time, 9 and 11 on Sunday. And then Monday, well, that's my birthday. And I've really tried to minimize it this year, making it just a one-day celebration, not the entire month. Well. But it's hard. Anyway, pray for me.
Then why'd you make me sing happy birthday already?
Yeah, that's good. This is a big one. So anyway, I'm really excited about being alive today. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones and let's talk. How about Christy is calling us on line 3. She is from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. WBYN is the station. Hi there. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
Doing all right. How could we help today?
I have a question on sexual addiction.
Okay.
If your partner were to cheat on you and that was the excuse that they came up with, how would you know that that was a sincere problem and not just some maybe an easy cop-out to justify their behavior?
Well, a person that is a sex addict, and by the way, why don't you mute your phone and then you can just listen. But a person that is a sex addict should be saying, oh, I didn't just make a little mistake. I have an addiction, which means I can't just go see a counselor for 6 sessions and find out why. No, addiction means I need to be in recovery forever. I need to be working a program. I need to be making restitution. I need to find a way to not only understand the impact of my behavior on you, but on everybody else.
It's what you're saying, Steve, is it's the least cop-out statement you can make.
It should be. And anybody using it as an excuse, well, really, where that comes from is you'll see people in court. An attorney will say, hey, let's use this thing like you had no control, you were an addict. Don't ever judge what we do in counseling by what some attorney uses to get somebody off. But why don't you unmute your phone, Christy? Is this your husband that did this, or is this somebody else? Christy?
Oh, I'm still here.
Is this your husband that was unfaithful and said, oh, well, I'm a sex addict, that's why I did it?
No, we were not married.
Okay. And this is not someone that was in recovery, is what I'm hearing, right?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a real cop-out, but it should be a step up, not a cop-out. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. What do you think, John? I mean, is it I don't see anybody ever getting off the hook for anything with a label.
Well, you know, Jesus said you're going to know things by their fruit, right? You know, good things by good fruit and good, bad things by bad fruit, Christy. And a fruit means there is a responsibility. So when he says, yeah, I'm an addict, the very next thing you say after, okay, thanks for the explanation, the very next thing is, what are you going to do about it? There's a responsibility. You've got some bad fruit that's going to destroy you and me and people. And so don't let the conversation go to, sorry, it's not like saying, well, you know, I've got a skin problem, so I'll always have eczema. It's like, I've got something that there's research behind. I now have a responsibility because it will deteriorate me and us over time. So you just push for accountability. Does that make sense?
It does.
Can I poke one more quick thing? Christy?
Absolutely.
I would encourage you not to have sex out of marriage. Can you say something to that?
You're real quiet there, Christy. What do you think?
I was like, how did you know that?
Well, what kind of an easy call was that? This guy was unfaithful to me sexually, but I'm not married to him. I can add. Christy?
So, Christy, what are your thoughts about sex outside of marriage? Is it like not a value of yours, or is, or what?
Well, those were definitely mistakes I made a long time ago.
Okay.
Okay, so you would agree that's probably not a good idea.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
well,
good.
Great.
I'm glad he poked, and I'm glad you had that kind of a response. And have you read John's book, Boundaries?
I have not.
Okay. So I'm going to send that to you. I think that's going to help you with all of this. But just the fact that you called about this, I think you already knew the answer. We just verified and clarified a little bit for you. Alice, any quick comment you want to make here?
Yeah, I'm just curious, Christy, why you're asking this now, and it makes me wonder if this left a wound for you that has not been healed, and that maybe there's still a hole there, there's still a hurt there from what he did. So whether or not calling himself an addict was a humble admission or an excuse, my concern is for you in your heart and whether or not you've sought healing for the pain that you have gone through. Christy, is this an ongoing hurt for you?
Well, you definitely identified that it is.
Okay, and are you getting any help for it?
I was in counseling for a couple of years, actually.
Is it coming back up again for you for some reason now?
I'm not sure why it's been on my mind.
Yeah. Well, even though we've gone through counseling before, most of us need multiple episodes of it. And sometimes new life events can reopen old wounds that have already been healed.
Absolutely.
So going in for just a checkup with a counselor might be a good idea for you.
All right. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice, too. I think that'll help you with some grief work there. But, boy, I'll tell you, there are a lot of folks that specialize in trauma, and they can really get to the bottom of some of this. Let's go to Heidi. Boise, Idaho watches us on the NRB television network. Glad that you do. Heidi, how you doing?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
I've been married for 4 years. My husband and I had a long-distance dating courtship, if you will, for 6 years. And so we have, in the past, this is our both second marriage, in the past have made many mistakes. And so this one we wanted to do right. We didn't have the sexual intimacy prior to marriage. Once married, there's been no sex. There's
Goodness.
Been attempts to try to develop a physical intimate relationship, but my life happens and my husband tends to drop the ball. I, however, know my part in this. My reaction, I was bent beyond hurt.
Okay, explain
and
that.
I guess my question.
Explain what you mean you were bent beyond hurt.
I guess because I think I was probably angry at God too at first, and angry at my husband for marrying me without having any desire to take it to a physical level. If that was the case, we could have made our lives so much more simpler and not gotten married.
Right.
But I kind of feel trapped, and I also feel like he's disappointed me and broken my heart so much.
Is he saying to you, I don't want to ever...
Yeah, is that an intentional, conscious thing he's saying?
Oh, no. I put it in his face. I was very adamant about leaving him a couple of times over it, which I did. We did come back together with the condition that he would not drop the ball this time. And again, life happens, and he drops the ball. He claims he has physical intimacy issues, or he has intimacy issues. So he's also had a very dear friend pay for counseling for him. We've also chased it to the tune of a couple of thousand in counseling as well, to no avail. So,
well, now let me just ask you this: when you say he drops the ball, I mean, it's a two-way thing here. So, are you saying that you're doing things to say, hey, you know, let's have dinner, let's you know, have some time together, but he drops the ball then? Or are you saying he doesn't initiate?
He never initiates. I shouldn't say never, because in his mind, I'm sure if he reaches over to touch me or pat me, that's considered an initiation. To me, that's not there. There is literally no physical intimacy in the marriage, and so it's very awkward at this point. How do I know what signals he's giving me? He doesn't, as far as I'm concerned, there's no physical intimacy. So
okay.
I have a hard time answering that. Also, though, I know my part in this, and that I reacted absolutely viciously when I was so disappointed on my wedding night.
So what happened on the wedding night? I think we got to know what happened then on the wedding.
You really want to know?
Yeah, I do.
He got some clam chowder and claimed he was sick all night. And the next morning when he woke up and he didn't instigate anything and started coming up with the excuses, that's when I hit him full barrel with this. I don't recommend to this very day anybody dating or in courting to wait 6 years to get married, first of all. Secondly, I definitely tell people, after 2 years, run real fast if they don't want to commit. So
let me just turn this over to John here, because it's obvious that, you know, this isn't like a minor thing in his life. He's never dealt with this.
Yeah. And it does sound more like passivity than it does, you know, any kind of issue with, you know, a medical or whatever issue. Why didn't the counseling work? And I need you to kind of give me a succinct answer on that. Because counseling research is very good on these, with a good counselor who understands sex issues and how they tie into character and how they tie into attachment and how they tie into power stuff. They fix that all the time. So what did not happen to help that? It's a very treatable thing.
Well, we spent money in another country with a counselor that he did not connect with, where I'm from. And so then when we tried to connect with other counselors, one in our church who we really valued that opportunity to connect with and get past this, he promised me, pretty much, this pastor, that he was going to help him and he was going to be accountable to him for this.
Can we clean the slate? Let's clean the slate here a bit, I think, Heidi. Are you in the States now?
Yes.
Okay, and you guys live together in the same house and all that?
Yes.
Okay. I recommend not a pastor this time. This is serious. And this takes some training that isn't, it's kind of beyond the pale. You need a licensed person, and we can find that for you. We have a very, very extensive network with somebody with specific sex couple training Mm-hmm. And that will do worlds.
You've probably seen them already.
What?
You've probably seen them already.
No, I meant...
That's who you're going to recommend. Go ahead, sorry.
You mean
I
he
just had to throw
he
that
has
in
a lot...
Because he's
really hungry and thirsty for righteousness, and he's interviewing lots of therapists because he's so concerned and they're all failing? Is that what you're telling me?
I think he starts seeing them, and then the process just either,
okay.
you know...
Okay, stop making an individual. He's okay, get it. Here's the issue then, Heidi. He's too passive, and he'll probably just kind of like screw around with the individual. Go as a couple. You get too mad, and so you're going to have to back off and turn your burners down a bit and get more vulnerable.
Yeah.
But you keep going, because then the shrink can go, well, how did it go when y'all tried intercourse? And he can say, oh, everything's fine. You go, wait a minute, my feelings really hurt. This is not what not happened. You be the person that brings that aspect in. But couples counseling with sex is great. I'm going to send you a book, Love and Sex by Nancy Houston. She's also a fellow of the Institute.
Okay.
Best thing I've ever read on this stuff, and she has lots of stuff about this, but it's got to be coupled sexual counseling that goes to a character level, and we'll help you here.
We'll be back after this. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, I just want to talk about sexual intimacy for
Stutter when you say it. Men get nervous when we talk about it. We stutter a lot.
No, I just have developed a stutter later in life. But anyway, so that is a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
You know, how much counseling and stuff, and she's really laughing at something that hurts her so deeply.
Yes.
Give us a couple of thoughts about this, and then Alice, you give us a thought too.
I'll go to the Bible. Luke 13, Jesus told a passage about a tree that did not bear fruit. And the owner said, tear it down. Why is it going to take up the earth? And the gardener, who was Jesus in the metaphor, says, well, before we tear it down, it's got bad fruit, yeah. Let me dig around the soil and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
In sexual research theory and treatment, most of the time, it's not about sex. It's about sexualized issues, emotional issues, and character issues, and brokenness issues that have a sexual tinge taken to them. It tends to be about trust and attachment and who's got the power and self-judgment and perfectionism and all those things. So go down to the soil with somebody who's trained, and then what happens? Well, then two people that love each other get together and have sex. So don't make it about the sex. Make it about healing and growth.
And I think, too, admitting how tough this is to talk about and that most of us are not equipped either with the courage or the right words. Mm-hmm. And then the timing that we pick to pursue this conversation can deeply affect the outcome of it. So by that, I mean setting up an assertive but calm and loving conversation with our spouse when the problem is not happening, not in that moment, because then I think we come at it with too much anger, mm-hmm. frustration, and hurt, and we end up pushing each other away. So we can also look at this as an opportunity to take a close look at ourselves mm-hmm. and the beam in our own eye. Yeah. It's easy to point out the problems in our mate. Yeah. But when we look at ourselves, that's where we find the power to change something. So how's my anger coming out at my husband? Do I continue to pursue him in a loving, intimate way? Or do I give up and blow up?
Yeah.
I can do something about my own behavior.
Yeah. You have any thoughts on this, Steve? Yeah.
Alice and I were just going to say that.
I think we covered it, Steve.
here's also a thought. So often, and I've got an 11-year-old boy, so mm-hmm. I'm teaching him stuff mm-hmm. about this. But a guy who makes sex about himself, using pornography and all that, and then ends up in a marriage, he has a little tough time when it comes down to a relationship and another person and connecting. And it's just totally messed up until he deals with that.
I'll go you one further. Okay. Here's the research.
All right.
The young guys out there that are way into porn mm-hmm. now
yeah.
are losing erectile.
Yes.
They're in the erectile.
Absolutely.
They can't get an erection
right.
anymore. Yeah. So it's not even about any – I mean, even the thing that they say they want, they can't
right.
have.
Well, and I've seen stories. Time did a great – story on guys not using porn anymore. Not because they came to Jesus. Mm. They can't have sex with their girlfriends, and they're realizing can't have it both ways. So anyway, Heidi, let's see.
Steve, I think we've got a great reference. Mylan and Kay did a fantastic program on how we love sex or don't.
Yeah.
And in that, they really equip us with how to ask mm-hmm. questions to find out when do you want sex and how do you show me that
yeah.
you want it and this is how I want you to show me. It really gives us brave questions that maybe we don't know how to ask on our own.
All right. Very good. Tell us the name of the book you recommended also.
Love and Sex.
Love and Sex. And the author?
Nancy Houston.
Nancy Houston. Okay. And then I'm going to send Mediterranean Love Plan, and that really, you know what it does.
I love that book.
Well,
I love that
every book. One of the secrets, there's seven. There are 13 things that you can do together, and they're not sexual things until you get to this one chapter, but they open all of those closed doors. I'll get that to you also. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. We want to help you. Let's go back to the phones. That's what we're here for. Let's go to Brandon. Denver, Colorado, listens on Sirius XM satellite radio. And let's see. Brandon's on line 5. Hey, Brandon, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Doing okay. What's going on?
I've got an issue where my wife has filed for divorce. We've got three young kids.
Ouch.
She's claiming it's financial stuff, but I've battled what I thought was depression for a long time, kind of withdrew for a while and wasn't helping a lot, and got re-diagnosed, got to a counselor for CBT, and they've diagnosed me now with ADHD and OCD. And when I try to talk to her about it now, she says that it's pretty much just an excuse that I'm using. So she had filed, and my date to reply was this week, so I met with my attorney today. And since this has happened, she's kind of withdrawn from our whole family, been going to visit her family a lot,
uh-huh.
left me with the kids all
okay.
through the school year pretty much.
Well, what kind of medication have they gotten you? What kind of medication are you on for all this?
I'm on Luvoxin and Adderall XR.
Uh-huh. And that's not producing any kind of change that she can see that's favorable?
I feel that it is helping, but she said that when this all happened that she was done. She's lost all feelings and is not wanting to even
yeah. okay.
attempt.
All right, so before we go to the break, what is the question for us?
My attorney was pushing me to actually file the temporary hearing and get custody of the kids.
Uh-huh.
And she's kind of been gone because it would it's very favorable for me to do that now.
Uh-huh. So the question for us is what?
We need a question.
Do I go ahead and do that, or do I hold off and keep hoping that we can reconcile?
Got it. Okay. All right.
Got it.
We'll give you some help after this. Listening to New Life Live, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Alice Benton, Steve Arterburn here. We'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay. So, Brandon, just clarify. Your wife left you with the kids, or what? Help us understand that.
We are still living together.
You're still living?
Her family is 10 hours away, and she would just be gone for 2 or 3 weeks. Saying she's going to visit.
And so you take care of the kids?
I have the kids pretty much all the time while she's gone, and she never would take them with her or anything.
Do you work?
Yes, I do.
How do the kids get taken care of?
I'd get them to school, and then I'd have help with my dad, or his wife would sometimes pick them up from school for me, and I could get them then after that.
Hats off to you.
Yeah.
That's a tough thing to do.
Okay, so
you're asking us a strategic question. Then you're asking kind of a legal strategic question. Should you take the first move to get custody? Is that what you're wanting to know from us?
Yeah, because they're saying it looks good right now for me to do that, since I have been pretty much the primary caregiver this.
Some kind of
year.
A maternal abandonment case.
Brandon, even though your wife has been gone for long periods, do you trust her with the kids? Do you think she's a good, healthy caregiver of your children?
When she's there.
Yeah, for the most part. She's been drinking a lot more since all this has happened.
Well, there you have it.
And going out and stuff, so.
Brandon.
That's why I think she's not taking them with her.
Okay. We can't give you legal advice beyond what your attorney's giving you. Sounds like to me, though, he's giving you some good advice based on your wife's an alcoholic who leaves and goes for 2 weeks and you're in charge of the kids anyway. So in the best interest of the kids, not a win-lose for you or her, sounds like you ought to have custody of those kids.
Okay.
Second thing is you. Let's talk about you. How are you doing with this depression thing? And now they say attention deficit disorder and obsessive compulsive disorder.
Now that I kind of know that's what it is, I feel better. I've always just kind of thought I was lazy and couldn't accomplish much. Huh. And then I'd get down on myself, and it'd just be a continual cycle like that of not getting something done, getting down on myself for it. And then, but I feel like I'm getting more of a handle on it. I still have struggles and had tough days, especially with what's going on. But
you have any either of you have any encouragement for him or direction in that area for himself and his treatment of his problem?
Well, Brandon, you must be in an impossible situation here, because if you choose and fight for your kids, it may mean losing your wife and risking that. So what a difficult decision to make. So my encouragement to you, Brandon, would be to continue to seek wisdom. And there are a couple of real specific ways to build up discernment, even though this is urgent. But presenting this situation to God and asking for his guidance, he answers those prayers, especially when we are rooted in the Bible, when we're seeking his word, his wisdom on a regular basis, and when we're in relationship with wise, safe people in our life. And so those are three ways to test this decision that you're going to make and to seek God's help and guidance in it.
Mm-hmm. And what about the medication thing? I mean, it's helping him a little bit, but
you're going to need some human interaction too.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we want you to get around people who are wise and that sort of thing. And Brandon, there's a stance I want you to consider when you talk to your wife, because the chances are, especially since she's lawyered up, that she's going to escalate and blow up, and you're trying to take the kids away, and then she might not be working with the prefrontal cortex, but with her amygdala and fight or flight, and not be rational, and then you don't want it to go nuclear. So I would suggest either a conversation or an email, if y'all can't talk, where you say, "I'm doing this, but I can take this away. I want to stay married. I love you. I'll change everything I need to change. So I'm just doing this because of my concern for our kids." But the minute you decide that you would like to work on trying to stay married and all this, and it's kind of vetted out, I'll drop the custody thing. So she may not hear it, Brandon. She may hear it. But it's your best chance at keeping this thing from escalating to a level that then nobody's in charge.
And Brandon, you took a little while to tell us about your wife's drinking. We kind of had to dig for that. So I would just hope, too, that you're bringing that up with your attorney for the safety of your children.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big deal, really big deal. If you have not been to some Al-Anon meetings for yourself or a codependency group, it would be really, really good. I'm going to send you one of these books from our Understanding and Loving a Person, the Arterburn Wellness Series, Understanding and Loving a Person with Alcohol mm-hmm. or Drug mm-hmm. Addiction. Dave Stoop and I did this book together. The whole series, 8 books. Well, that's our way of saying thank you when you join Club New Life for $30 a month. And we need 6 people to sign up every day just to do what we do here. Maybe you'd be one of those 6. You also get access to our video library full of great, great videos on the things you're dealing with. That's how we know to do the video. Our way of saying thank you. The video library and the entire Arterburn Wellness series. I think there's a topic here that might interest you. Attention deficit disorder, understanding and loving a person with sexual addiction, depression, alcohol and drug, post-traumatic, borderline, narcissistic personality disorder, and bipolar. All of that right here, our way of saying thank you. And to you, Brandon, get some men around you that can love you.
Steve, I'm overwhelmed by this list of all these books you've got here. I was starting to think about something my seminary professor once told me. He said, "Our ability to sin creatively is limited only by our depravity."
Oh, who was that?
John Hanna. He was my child.
Oh, my goodness.
In other words, look at all the ways we're screwed up.
Yeah.
We could be screwed up more ways if we weren't depraved and limited.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways we got baggage.
Mm-hmm. Well, you remember the question the lady asked about sexual addiction? She said, "Is that a cop-out if somebody says they did something because of addiction?" And then that begs the question people always say, "Well, wait a second. Is it sin or is it addiction?"
I know.
And I always say to that question, yes.
Yes.
It is. I never met an addict who wasn't just involved in all sorts of sin. Never met a sinner who wasn't addicted to their favorite sin, mm-hmm. whether it's shaming somebody or being judgmental or whatever. So it's all in there together. One doesn't eliminate the other.
This is a great series you guys have. I'm really, really happy for you.
Yeah, thanks. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You need some help, we want to help you, and you can help us. And if you do, we'll send you 100 Days of Prayer. Now let's go to Kelsey, Gainesville, Virginia, listening on WAVA. How you doing, Kelsey?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. My son is a, I guess, former addict by only 1 month. He's 21 years old. In the past with him, I've had to have him move out of the home twice. Mm-hmm. Most recently, he has tried to come back into my life. He is working full-time. He has a girlfriend who is 29, and they are pregnant with my grandson. Mm-hmm. So my question is, my husband and I are considering having them, they're living in a motel. That's the other thing. They're living in a motel. They both work, but it's a bad situation, you know, for her being pregnant. And so we're considering having them move in with us. However, my concerns are he's 1 month clean and not being in any kind of treatment. He's been in treatment in the past, but so what kind of boundaries can we set if this is even something we should consider? Help, if you can.
I have a vision of a contract, a pre-arranged contract. I mean, if he's not willing to go to AA or Celebrate Recovery or a Life Recovery group, I mean, you're really kind of enabling the inevitable. What do you think?
Yeah, it's got to be some agreement. I'm thinking, I'm a numbers guy. The motel is costing X, right?
Yes. And he would be paying rent. He was open to that.
Well, hold it. I'm going a different direction. And this is just an idea. So there's X, and you take that X, and that they can't still afford an apartment on their own, right?
Right.
That's why they're in the motel, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay. You and your husband make up the difference if you have the financial means. I don't know if that's $200 a month, $300 a month, who knows. If y'all have the means, then you help them set up. You provide first and last if they don't have if they have cash flow problems so that they're in. But goodness gracious, back in your home with that kind of chaos, as opposed to you being able to visit them, you know, babysit, bring them support, and having your own place where you're sane. If you have the financial wherewithal,
yeah.
I would go that route.
I think that's a better way to go than just have a contract and bring them in, say you got to meet these things, and then they don't. Yeah. What do you think? Is that a possibility, Kelsey, where you guys would get them set up and help them that way?
Yes, I do think we could. We could contribute a certain amount each month. I have talked to my husband about that. And the other concern he had was, as Christians, he was uncomfortable with them living in our home, being unmarried, you know, having relations.
Yeah, there's a minor issue there. We got a baby to worry about and your sanity. They're the major issues.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Just finishing up with Kelsey. Kelsey, a comment came up about referring to him as like an ex-addict after a month. And I think what you were saying was he's not using for a month, right?
Correct.
But he's an addict. You know that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I would just say this, that I'd refer to him not as an ex-addict. I would refer to him as he's my son with an addiction problem.
A recovering addict, maybe?
Well, he's not.
He's not recovering.
Using.
Okay, forget that one.
He's got an addiction problem. He's not using, and right. We really need to get him into a recovery program. And right. Your husband, I think, ought to have a nice chat with him about being a father.
There you go.
And encourage him. You're going to have to do some things you don't want to do as a father. And one of the things, whether you want to or not, you got to get into a recovery meeting. And then your husband says this, there's an open speaker meeting Tuesday night down at the barn there downtown, and I'm going to pick you up and we're going to go together. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying there?
Yeah, you know, Jesus said, if you kick a demon out, then you don't put good right stuff back in. Seven more are going to come back in. Your son is at risk as a father now, that since he's an addict, and that's where he goes when he's under stress, to start to feel that pressure of being a dad, which puts him at more risk for acting out again and using again. So have your dad get him somebody to get inside him so he's not alone, so he's less of a risk.
I'm going to send you this here Life Recovery Bible.
This here Life Recovery
Bible. And that's going to be a gift for him. And I hope it'll be a blessing to him. And it'd be great if you could go to a meeting, an Al-Anon meeting or codependency meeting with his girlfriend. And then, you know, there's some kind of connection there where there then maybe could lead to this discussion of, well, is this going to – not everybody that has a baby together needs to be married, you know. Sometimes it's a horrific thing. Right. But you got to have that discussion at some point. But I'll send this this Life Recovery Bible to you. I hope it's going to be helpful. And I'm going to ask everybody that's on the line there to please hold on. In fact, I think we've got time for one more call. I'll go to Lori. She's been – holding. She watches or listens. I guess she listens on the internet. Lori, we'll go to you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to get to your call. You live in Grass Valley, California?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Tell us what's going on.
I met you once at a Woman of Faith conference a long time ago. Oh. And I've been listening to you guys for years. I have serious concerns about an elderly mother living in another state, and she has had mental health issues since I was a child.
Okay.
But she's been able to function, you know, take care of herself.
Okay.
I don't think she's able to do that any longer. There's been a change in recent conversations with her.
So what's the question for us then? What would that be?
I'm wondering what else I can do. I'm concerned about her being able to live on her own. I have called for a welfare check, they went by and saw her, and they said that she's fine. I've called adults.
You've called someone else. I mean, we just lost you there.
I called adult. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Adult, what did you call?
I called the Adult Protective Services.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't been able to, I called them last week, and I haven't been able to talk to them again. My concern is that she's completely delusional at this point, and I don't know if she's fallen into some kind of dementia or if this is just...
Can you go there?
No. I am taking care of a family member with Alzheimer's, and I have no income at this time.
So that's
the problem.
All right, so let's see if we can come up with something you can do. I mean, I would continue to pursue Adult Protective Services and get somebody on the line there.
Yeah, dementia and delusionality, Laurie, are not events. They're a pattern. And so maybe they did the visit and she was coherent at that time, which happens. And so you've got to be her advocate and be sort of like the widow knocking at the unrighteous judge's door. And you got to say, can you guys go over a series of times, five or six times in the next month? Because I am convinced as I talk to her, there's a lot of stuff in her head that's not working right. And move them into sooner or later, if she's truly delusional and has dementia, it's going to show up. So that's your best shot on my end.
Yeah. Do you have a quick thought on that?
Just if you have anybody on the ground there, Lori, who could meet them there, who could be there and provide additional information.
Well, also, Lori, are you involved in a church there in Grass Valley?
Yes, in Grass Valley.
Okay. So you go to your pastor and you say to the pastor, this is where my mom lives. Do you know of any great churches there where somebody it might be a church big enough that has a full-time ministry to elderly folks, but you call on the church to try to help, and you try to develop some kind of connection with a local church who's got a connection there. I meet people all the time that know about our church there in Carmel, so I think that's another avenue for you. Go the church route. That's what God wants the church to be anyway, whether you're local or not.
And Lord, did she decline your help? Because I'm assuming that.
Well, she's not on. So
you may just ask her, too, that you and family members get together to let her know what it is that you're seeing in her and to let her know you want help for her because you love her.
All right. We are just about out of time. John, new book,
Leading from
your gut. What do people often lead from?
The rationality side. Uh-huh. You know, logic, metrics, which are great. You got to have the left side.
Yeah.
But God also gave you a right side, which is when you go, I had this feeling about it. I got to pay attention to this and my gut and my passions. And so it's about developing both sides as an influencer of other people for good things.
Latest book on leadership. Then the Leadership Institute, we talked about full-on degree. But also, you've got a leadership program. Maybe you don't want a degree, but you want some help in developing yourself as a leader or how to help other leaders, drtownsend.com. Guess what? We've got a website, too. We've also got a great app. You know, go to the App Store and download New Life, the app. It's really a wonderful app. You can hear the radio program.
I want to download it today.
Yeah,
I want to get it.
It's nice. Got the tree with the brain inside of it. And that's a great way to connect with us. A lot of different things there. Also, don't forget, Club New Life, $30 a month. We send you the entire series, the Arterburn Wellness Series, on all these things of the people that you love and understand and can help and be part of. And so that's our way of saying thank you and access to the video library. A one-time gift. Maybe it's not Club New Life, but a one-time gift to help us not slump during the summer slump, and we'll send you 100 days of prayer. What a great, great tool for your prayer life. Who prays enough? Not me. We all need help in learning to pray more and better and deeper and richer. I want to say thanks to all of you who do support us, and if you want to become part of that team, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE ourneulife.com. And I want to thank you, Dr. Alice Benton, for being here. Bless you. John, great to be with you, as always. Many of you don't know, but John and I, we go way back. First time I ever danced with my wife, John and his band were playing. Yes, he is a musician, multi-talented musician. He's probably got his recordings there at drtownsend.com. I don't know. We'll find out. Okay. Hey, great to be with you. Love you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.